It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Good to have you on board here on a Thursday morning. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the sports betting network. This show is brought to you by DraftKings. Mitch Moss, along with Jonathan Von Tobel, who is in Pauly Howard. Pauly is on vacation this week. Starting this hour off, talking betting on some props as Doug Crosteen joins the program now. He does a great job for Action Network. He's on X at Prop Bet Guy. He joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Doug, good morning. How are things?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Doing really well. So we do have two more play-in games. There is a number currently up on the Heat Bulls. Heat's favored by about 2.5 in this game, but that's going to be one where I think books are going to be slow to roll out other markets because of the Jimmy Butler injury. Let's concentrate on the Pelicans and the Kings now. No Zion Williamson in this game. Kings are now favored by 1.5 on the road. Which player or players caught your eye with their numbers in this matchup, Doug?
Yeah, so no Zion, obviously, that's a big deal for the Pelicans, to say the least. So a guy that I really like and a guy who I liked in April in general, Trey Murphy on the Pelicans, who I expect to come back into the starting lineup. He was kicked back to the bench because Ingram came back. But when he was playing in April, mainly without Brandon Ingram, he was playing with Zion, obviously, no Ingram. He was averaging 20 points a game. He's at 17 points a game since the All-Star break in 34 minutes. This is obviously a do-or-die game. He had been playing big minutes down the stretch. I expect, you know, that they can unleash him up to about 40-ish minutes today, on Friday. So his point line right now on DraftKings, 16.5, that's one that I'm looking to lock in now because I think that can only go up when he's confirmed to be the starter, which I'm expecting him to be. We already know that Zion's out. Ingram didn't look great at all. I mean, he only played, I don't think he even cracked 30 minutes. He didn't play in crunch time. So they're going to need scoring, and Murphy's their best bet besides, you know, a banged up Ingram and CJ McCollum in this one. Kings give up a lot of spot up shooting. That's Trey's forte. So I like Murphy in this one.
Doug, when you watch a game like that transpire between the Pelicans and Lakers, and you see a guy like Willie Green being willing to not only bench Brandon Ingram because he wasn't playing very well. I mean, frankly, I think CJ McCollum was going to get benched until Zion got hurt, right? And they didn't really have any other choice to put him back in there. How does that affect you from a player prop standpoint when you see a coach that's willing to be that aggressive and go, no, screw this. I'll roll with Jose Alvarado and Trey Murphy and Zion Williamson and our guys off of the bench as opposed to some of the starters you would expect to be out there in crunch time?
Yeah, well, it's a little scary when I'm looking to bet an over because it does show that he is willing to go with whatever he needs to do to win. Yeah. And benching a guy like CJ, who was on fire to end the regular season, I mean, it did definitely made sense, and it was their best bet and their best chance to win. There's no predicting, I think, now without Zion and Ingram still not looking great, what this rotation is going to shake out as. So I'm using my best, you know, my best guess in terms of what I think they'll need, which is scoring, which is why I'm going with Murphy. But yeah, you know, it's definitely something to keep in mind if the Pelicans do move forward that, hey, you know, Willie Green will do what he needs to do, and minutes maybe aren't as solid in the playoffs as we thought.
Okay, let's go to Sunday. The Mavericks are favored by now one. Some spots have 1.5 on the road against the Clippers, and they keep taking money on the series price, by the way. They keep going up, up, and up. Luka's numbers are going to be extremely high because the way that this guy finished and played the entire year, he's Superman out there. What kind of caught your eye with him? What do you want to do with Luka?
Yeah, you know, so look, Luka, like you said, Superman, he's playing big minutes all season, averaging over 9 rebounds a game. To finish the season since they moved Derek Jones Jr. into the starting lineup, which obviously worked out fantastically. I think the Mavericks were, you know, the best team in the NBA, arguably, over the stretch. Luka in the 13-game sample was averaging over 10 rebounds a game with him. So when I saw the rebound line at 8.5, yes, it's a lower volume matchup against the Clippers, but he's hit this in 9. He's cleared 8.5 rebounds in 9 of the last 12, regular season games against LA. It's just too low for a playoff game. He's going to play 40 minutes, maybe even more. He's already averaging 10 of late. So, I mean, I locked in Luka over 8.5 rebounds last night. I think there's still some playable numbers out there. So I hopped on that pretty quickly.
Yeah. Did you have an opinion at all on that series price? That's been JVT and I have talked about this a lot this week. It just keeps going up again. I mean, I saw as high as almost 145 yesterday on the Mavericks in some spots.
Yeah, you know, I didn't jump on any early lines like I know a lot of people obviously did.
Yeah.
But I definitely like the Mavericks in this one. I mean, we don't know how healthy Kawhi really is. He didn't play at all down the stretch. The Mavericks were on fire. The Clippers definitely stumbled a bit. It's hard to kind of flip that switch. So I definitely think the Mavericks should have been favored from the get-go. I know they weren't. I'm not jumping on the current price, but I think they pull it out.
So, Doug, general question when it comes to these player props, because you kind of mentioned it a little bit. When you see numbers that are hung up, are they adjusted for playoff performances, increased minutes, or are these a little bit more tied still into player averages from a regular season? Because I feel like, in general, if they're tied to regular season averages a bit more, you could probably find some value, right, because the market's not accounting enough for maybe some increased minutes for some of these best players?
For sure, yeah. That's the first thing I look at. You know, like, you expect some of these star players to get a few more minutes or maybe even extra shift of playing time, even though it's just game one. I still think, you know, coaches love to go out and win game one, so they're going to ride their players, you know, their guys, like a guy like Luka, who played big minutes but should play even bigger minutes in the playoffs.
Yep.
So that's the first thing I look at, is minute-adjusted stats.
All right, it's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Doug Krallstein, he's with Action Network. You can follow him on X. He is at PropBetGuy. So in terms of other series prices that have been posted now, there's really only, I would say, well, there's one really prohibitive favorite. That's Denver laying higher than $3 against the Lakers. The Cavaliers are a little bit shorter than $2 against the Magic. Everything else really much closer to a pick 'em. Did you like anything? Was there a number out there that you thought, I should maybe grab a piece of that?
Yeah, you know, it's awesome. I love that. I mean, in the first round, you're used to having heavy favorites, big underdogs, but the parity is incredible this year. Look, at risk of sounding like a homer, I do like the Knicks. I know, you know, they opened at +105 on DraftKings last night. I think you had mentioned they're now -105. That might be one I pull the trigger on. Look, we watched the game last night. Embiid does not look 100% healthy. He does not look 100% conditioned either. And the Knicks could throw 48 minutes of Hartenstein and Mitch Robinson at him, which, look, nobody can guard a healthy Embiid, but those two guys can make it as tough as almost anybody can in the NBA. And they stick OG Anunoby on Tyrese Maxey. Jalen Brunson, I don't think the Sixers have a good matchup for him at all. DiVincenzo's been fantastic. I just see too many advantages for the Knicks to make this one, and home court, obviously. I don't see why they would be underdogs.
Well, I mean, by extension then, right, Doug, it's a pretty clear path for whoever wins this series to the Eastern Conference Finals, potentially. I mean, you could get Indiana in the next round. It seems pretty likely. A lot of people are making the same comp, like winner of Mavericks and Clippers. Western Conference Finals berth seems likely, and maybe they could be the other team that gets out. It's the same thing with this series, is it not, in the East?
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, we don't know how bad Giannis is banged up, but the fact that he's already going to miss the first few games of this series does not bode well, and calf injuries obviously could lead to something more significant. We don't know, but yeah, you know, this is going to be a big series. I know a lot was, you know, made of the Knicks potentially trying to lose so they get the 3 seed, so they have to play the Pacers instead of, you know, what winds up being the Sixers. But yeah, this one's going to be an interesting series, and I could potentially see, you know, them, whoever wins this one, winning the next one as well.
Doug, it's a short card today in Major League Baseball. That said, any K props at the moment that may be worth a stab at, in your opinion?
Yeah, Ryan Pepiot on the Rays, who I know a lot of people are looking at to have kind of a breakout year this year. The under of 6.5 strikeouts just makes a lot of sense to me. You know, he's under 2 of 3 this year, 11 of 13 his career. Weirdly, the two times he went over were at Coors, which might just be coincidence, but I do find it kind of weird that he hit both in those environments. But, you know, he's facing an Angels team that's actually been much better from a strikeout perspective over the last week. They're only at 22% strikeout rate versus righties. They've been hitting actually above average over that same span, too. So I think the books are devaluing the Angels a little bit and overvaluing a guy like Pepiot, who just hasn't shown that he can consistently hit this line. So under 6.5, I think you could get that at -105. So I'm going to lock that in right now.
All right, very cool. Follow Doug on X. He's at Prop Bet Guy. Does a great job for Action Network, and he joined us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Doug, good to talk to you. Best of luck tonight and this weekend. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Is it a get-rich-quick plan just to bet on Nicholas Batum every over after last night?
Clearly. I think that's the way to go, right? What's going to be interesting is, actually, let me look. Have they hung up the player prop for that? Is his point prop going to be at like 20.5 now, right? It's got to be the clear and obvious adjustment that you have to make.
That game came out of nowhere.
It was the underrated aspect. I know we're going to talk about like the three, the block, the putback that he had.
Oh, it's impossible.
Like four minutes where he's like contorting his body and putting it back up. That was insane.
You know what I liked a little bit last night? Now, he can get in trouble for this a little bit later on down the road, but he knew that he had the hot hand.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, shots were going up. It doesn't matter if it was from downtown to the guy in his face or from 15 feet, tough contested.
Yep.
We'll see. I mean, because if he comes out cold in the next game, it's going to have to be hot potato time, pal.
Yep.
That lasted for one game and one game only.
My favorites, and he does those every once in a while, where he'll catch it and then in one fluid motion just do it. Like, he won't even bring it back down. It's just like, whoop, and he'll just push it back up. Oh, he was feeling himself. And then when I saw him catch it at the top of the key, like he was going to run the offense, I was like, all right. Settle down, Nick. But hey, man, he was on. Yeah. That was incredible.
So if the Heat beat the Bulls, Miami would get Boston then as the 8-1 matchup in the East. Based on what happened last year, how many people do you think are going to say, can't count out the Heat?
Oh, of course.
Spoelstra was too good. Jimmy Butler in the playoffs.
I mean, that performance yesterday kind of probably emboldened a lot of people. I know they lost, but looked like the zombie Heat were going to do it again.
Yeah, it really did.
That first half was incredible for Philly. Like, just throwing the ball directly to their defenders. They had just played them not even a week ago. It looked like it was the first time they'd ever seen a zone defense.
Well, that game was drunk last night.
Yes.
The second quarter was all Miami. The third quarter was all Philadelphia. And then the fourth quarter...
It was all Nick Batum.
Yes, that's right. We will get into today's Major League Baseball card. And there's a really good race going on in what has turned into a really fun market to bet at the start of the season.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
VSiN.com/splits, folks. You can check it out now. Get all the current betting splits data for the day of action. It also works for future events as well. So check it out now. It is open to everybody. That's right. You don't even need a pro subscription. VSiN.com/splits.
0-3 weeks so far for me in Major League Baseball. Doesn't matter what it was. Strikeout prop, first five, full game, 0-3. Loser yesterday, A's Cardinals, first five under 4.5. Nope, exploded. Blackburn got roasted. Same thing with the A's offense. Sticks were alive against Mats. No good. So 0-3 week in Major League Baseball. Tough to grind out day to day. I don't know. For those of you who can do it, good for you.
And on a volume, too. It's absolutely nuts to me.
Nonstop. Actually, the best way to do baseball would probably be just RB numbers the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. Sit in front of your computer all day long and just go back and forth and
get the jug of urine, just sit under, just put it under your desk. Just don't get up.
Yep. Stay on the same seat for 12 hours and then there you go. Grind it out that way.
Everybody they're idiots on social media.
Two things I wanted to point out today. So, the Malinsky special, which is a team going on a long road trip and then coming back home for the first game. It's the first game back. You might have a wife. You might have kids. You're back at home. You see the family, the friends, whatever. And now we're talking about no days off, by the way. I don't think the Cubs would typically qualify here because it was only a 6-game. I checked that. The Cubs do qualify. The Giants, I don't think, would. Cubs played a 9-game West Coast road trip. San Diego, Seattle, Arizona. They do not get a day off. They're right back at Wrigley tonight. And they get one of the worst teams in baseball with A.J. Puck going, mind you, whose ERA is around 6. He has 14 walks and 3 starts so far this year. Cubs with Jameson Taillon on the hill, but .150. That is a long time away from home here. Just something to keep in mind. And the other one potentially would be the Giants, although it was only a 6-game trip. They went to the East Coast. They played 3 in Tampa, 3 in Miami. Back today to take on a solid Diamondbacks team, Logan Webb on the hill, and they're laying .166 as we speak in this game.
I think I'd rather go this route. I don't know if I want to put my faith in the hands of A.J. Puck.
I don't disagree.
You know, the last start against New York, and I had the Yankees in a first five there, and they just got through. I think they were up 1-0 at the end of the first five. He walked 5 in that. The Yankees only hit like 200, a little bit less on balls in play. It kind of felt like he got away with one. If you look at the underlying numbers, just for the start alone, they get an ERA that was just hovering around 1, but a FIP that was around 8, just given how much traffic he gave up on the base paths. I don't want to trust my fate to that guy. But having said that, you understand that in Taillon, you mentioned getting the first start of the season, you don't know what exactly he's going to have, but I think I would definitely, personally, I just don't want to do that.
Right.
I think I always give Doug Kazarian credit for this one. It's like, you know, it might be the right side. But do you want to sweat that out?
Oh, sure.
Do you want to actually sit there and do this?
But I will point out, too, just betting a Malinsky special blindly, and I know a couple of our viewers have been tracking this. Chris, Bellamy's been doing it in the NHL, and Ian Duncan's been doing it in the NBA. They've been doing a litmus test this year on just by going with every Malinsky special to see what it's going to be like. Great job out of those two guys to track it for the full year. It might be just something where if you're thinking about the Cubs and you were leaning that way, it might be something to factor in.
Sure.
Just to make you say, yeah, I was going to force it on the Cubs anyway, and now I don't want to bet them.
Yeah.
It might be enough just to get you off a bet, as opposed to making you definitely want to bet that just because a team is back at home and fade them.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I mean, you speak that with any single trend, right? Which is, you know, use it as part of the process, not the entire process.
Sure. Although, I don't mind maybe Webb's really good.
He is.
But the Diamondbacks, nothing wrong with that team.
No.
I think they're pretty decent again this year.
I mean, oh, absolutely. When you look at what they've been able to do so far to this point of the season, I mean, record-wise, it hasn't been spectacular, but they're still checking some boxes, especially offensively. I think that's why, too, like, they're just, when you're looking at these, it's a very general assumption. This is just a generally more competent team that you're asking in this situation to take care of business, as opposed to
the Marlins.
The worst team in baseball with a terrible pitcher and the worst lineup in baseball to go on the road and do that. And I think, too, the Cubs might be first in way to runs created plus against lefties. And Puck, of course, is a lefty coming into that.
I will fully admit that I like betting baseball futures anyway more than I like the day-to-day stuff.
Oh, yeah.
A, I'm better at it. B, I get more enjoyment out of it. And C, the day-to-day stuff is really difficult anyway. So one of the newer markets to bet on over the last couple of years is most wins by month. And this year, because we had so many games scheduled for the month of March, here at Circa anyway, it was phrased most wins in March and April. I think at DraftKings, they phrased it most wins by the end of April.
Okay.
A lot of fun to be involved in. And what a race we have going on. JVT, the Yankees lead right now with 13 wins. What a come from behind win that was yesterday
huge.
Against the Blue Jays, against that pen. Down 4-1, doing nothing, showing no signs offensively. They put together a 5-spot to win the game in Toronto to get them to 13 wins. They now finish out the month with 3 against Tampa, 4 against Oakland, 3 at Milwaukee, and 2 at Baltimore. They're currently leading with 13.
Yep.
5 teams have 12 wins. Orioles, Guardians, Royals, Braves, and Dodgers. And who would have thought this going into the season that suddenly this weekend, a massive series being played in April between Baltimore and Kansas City.
Yep.
And that is in KC. Each team with 12 wins. I bet two teams in this market. One of them is Baltimore. Now, they were a very short number. It was only 6-1. But I bet them because of the schedule, thinking that KC was not going to be nearly this good. Because after KC, they get 3 at your Angels, 3 versus Oakland. They close out with 2 against the Yankees.
They can pull it off, too. That lineup's good. Like, and all of a sudden, they're getting these performances from the rotation that you just never expected that were going to happen. Brady Singer, to start the season, was absolutely incredible. Other guy, I think, is Lugo still pitching well? Like,
Lugo's off to a great start.
They're getting these in. Like, I bet them over their win total, and I thought they were just going to be like, hey, plucky, better than you think. I put a little bit more, like I put a little bit on the win of the division. Like they look like they're going to be at least a pain in the ass.
I brought that up last week. I bet 2 futures on the Royals. That was 7-1 to win the division. Mm. I took a slice of 100-1 to win the American League.
Sure.
You never know what happens. If they can make the playoffs,
yep.
Everybody is live come playoff time in Major League Baseball.
Yep.
And I think it appears as if they have a true ace in Cole Reagans, too.
Yes, that kid looks, yep. I would say so, too. No, the Royals have been a good surprise. And like you said, I mean, they went to Baltimore as a competitive series, but they lost it earlier this month. But I wouldn't put anything past them in their ability to take advantage of that series at all.
The Guardians with 12 wins lost last night to Tanner Houck.
In like 10 minutes, right?
It took, I think, 7 minutes. But he went complete game, 3 hit, 9K, shutout. He was awesome. He's been terrific so far this year. He was down to, I think, around the 60-1 neighborhood. I grabbed a little bit more to 100-1 last night to win the Cy Young.
Nice.
Might be this year's Blake Snell. We were talking about that the other day. All the numbers are gone. He might be this year's Blake Snell.
Yeah, I wouldn't say. So they should have had, and they had this, right? So it was Tanner Houck, the first Major League Baseball pitcher to toss a 9-plus strikeout Maddux, 9 more innings, complete game shutout under 100 pitches, in an hour or in 50 minutes or less since Greg Maddux himself did so on August 20th, 1995. They should have tracked helmet tosses yesterday, too. You know how many Guardians batters were throwing their helmets after? They could not figure him out. The breaking stuff, everything. It was awesome watching him. He dominated them yesterday.
Yeah. So the Guardians have one more against Boston, three against Oakland, three more at against Boston at home, three at Atlanta, one at Houston. With no Shane Bieber, it might be tough for the Guardians to pull this one off.
I think so.
Royals are in the mix. Yep. Baltimore, Toronto, Detroit, Toronto again. They're alive to win this thing.
Their stuff's a lot tougher, though. Right? When you're talking about Baltimore, Toronto.
I don't know about Toronto. I don't know, man.
I mean, at the very least,
the pitching's been good, but
right. And the you're saying the short end of the bullpen, right? We talked about like the banged up back end of the bullpen that kind of reared its ugly head yesterday. That was a bad loss, but just in terms of like rated opponents, more coin flippy than anything else. That's going to be pretty tough for Kansas City to consistently win through that stretch. I would say.
I will say we have all these great stories going on, right?
Yeah.
With these teams who are in the mix again to have the most wins at the end of April, is it just going to be Braves or Dodgers? Not only at the end of this month, but they're going to be priced at like plus 250 to win every single month in that range. They each have 12 wins. Like out of nowhere, it's like all of a sudden you're like, okay, they each have 12. You're not going to find a good number. I didn't have a good number on Baltimore. I love this team and I love the schedule to begin.
I don't know. Dodgers got the Mets coming up. And like we talked
Mets
about,
been
right? Mets lineup starting to wake up a little bit here.
11-win teams, Padres, Cubs, Pirates, Brewers. One of those four teams, they're only two back of the Yankees. They could pull this off.
I mean, the Cubs might be the team that might sneak into this thing. You get, what, four games coming up with the Marlins. The Astros, whose bullpen can't hold anything together.
Three against Houston, that could be a Cubs sweep.
Yep, the bullpen can't do anything right. And then after that, you get the Red Sox before you take on the Mets to end the month of two games. So that could be a sneaky one.
Fun. It's a fun way to bet it, man.
Yeah.
It really is. You got action every single day.
A little instant gratification-y a bit, right?
It is,
kind of.
You just got to
wait for the first month, and just month by month, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Up next, NFL Draft Talk. D. Orlando Ledbetter is going to join the program. Covers the Falcons for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Who's the pick overall at 8, and is he buying into the GM's comments about taking a quarterback? Welcome back. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Jonathan Von Tobel in for Paulie Howard today. NFL Draft is 1 week from tonight, and the Atlanta Falcons are picking number 8 overall to talk about their pick and if they could add a quarterback during the event next week. D. Orlando Ledbetter, who has covered the team for a long time, joins the program now on the Progressive guest line. Good morning, sir. Thanks for the time. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Mitch and JVT. Thanks for having me this morning.
You bet. You bet. So, at number 8, and I've been reading, let's be honest here, D, I'm probably reading too many mock drafts on a daily basis, but it appears pretty obvious at this point that if the Falcons remain at number 8 overall, the position that they're going to take would be defensive line slash edge. Does it seem that obvious to you, or could something kind of screw that up?
Yeah, it does seem rather obvious at first take, but then you start looking at, okay, this is too obvious. Something else is afoot here. And so then you got to look at, hey, how do they value Lata's medical situation? Could they have him rated higher than Turner? Or would Verse be the second guy? And then you're starting to hear a little bit about Brian Murphy. The Texas defensive tackle, a pressure player is what the Falcons call them. They don't really go by position. They're like, which player can win their matchup and create more pressure? Now, is that Murphy? Is that Lata? Is that Verse? Is that Turner? So, yeah, we got they got a lot of options there. We got a lot of things to look at the 8th position now other than just what's on the surface.
So one of the things that we've stuck on, the guys over at Pro Football Focus had pointed out that Raheem Morris likes to drop his edge rushers into coverage and that Dallas Turner, among the prospects, has dropped back in coverage the most. Has that come up in any conversations, like schematic fit, that Turner fits best with Atlanta?
Yes, that has come up, and that is a fact. And, they were over at their pro day at Alabama. He didn't do much, but definitely he's a scheme fit for the Falcons. Dallas Turner.
All right. That makes a lot of sense, obviously. I've seen other people mocking maybe another offensive position, like a wide receiver type, to the Falcons at number 8. That's not the consensus, not the majority, obviously, but they're not going to go. I mean, think about this for a second here. Again, back-to-back-to-back drafts with London, Pitts, and Bijan, they wouldn't go offense, would they?
I wouldn't think so, unless something crazy like Alt drops to them. If Odunze is the third receiver, you know, he's pretty much Drake London. They're the big guys that go up and get the ball and so forth. So you don't need two of those. So something really, really strange would have to happen in front of them for them to go offense. But I don't see why a receiver. The other wild card spot for me would be cornerback. Hey, do you go with Arnold there? Do you trade back and get Arnold? Do you trade back and get McKinstry? Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo, 4-3-3. So you got some options there that could develop on draft day that may change your direction here for the Atlanta Falcons.
I'm glad you brought up the possibility of trading back into the draft. It seems like that could be a pretty decent play on their part as well. Has there been much chatter that you've heard anyway about that? Would they prefer to actually move back in the draft?
They're looking for value wherever it is, back up or so forth. But so far under Terry Fontenot's administration, they went up later. They haven't made the big blockbuster move. They went up in the second to get Bergeron. That was about his biggest move. They've moved around the board in the middle and late rounds, but haven't made the blockbuster deal that was always in play with Thomas Dimitroff. Once he made that Julio Jones trade, we were always on edge to see what he was going to do to go up and get the player they want. That was definitely one of his staples. But Fontenot kind of likes to let the board come to him so far, and he's been in the top spot in a prime position every year, so that kind of makes sense.
All right, so Mitch asked about offense. One of the things that has been thrown out there, Adam Schefter was talking about these quarterbacks in the first round and said people aren't thinking of certain teams like Atlanta, for example. They need insurance past Kirk Cousins. I don't think they'd go quarterback first round, but where would they start to target potentially a quarterback here maybe of the future to put behind Kirk Cousins? Is this a real target for them in the later rounds?
Yeah, no doubt. They only got two arms on the roster right now, Kurt and Nikki. So, they're getting a quarterback. It's just a matter of where. 8's too high for Penix. Do you trade back with Denver and those people and take a Bo Nix? I don't think so. You got too many issues to be worried about the quarterback of the future in the first round. But, hey, in the second and third, Spence Rattler could be there from South Carolina, formerly one of the top prospects in the country coming out of high school in Arizona. Also, we're keeping our eye on Michael Pratt, the Tulane quarterback who throws a nice deep ball, kind of shaky underneath, but just kind of making the connection there with him and Fontenot being from Tulane. We know he's been heavily scouted. So, they can go quarterback, developmental quarterback later. Don't expect to see that anytime before the third round, though.
Would that be a wise move, in your opinion? And it's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, D. Orlando Ledbetter, who's covered the Falcons for a long time for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. I mean, on paper, they are the best team in their division. They're odds-on favorites, in fact, to win the NFC South next year. I think they can win right now, and they can make a run potentially here in the playoffs. A quarterback in the third round, to me, would be a little puzzling. How about you?
Normally it would be a little bit puzzling, but given the fact that they botched the transition from Matt Ryan to this, I could understand that them wanting to have a transition plan where the quarterback that's 35 going into the season at 36, do you do it this year? Do you do it next year? At some point you can't get caught flat footed like they did when Matt Ryan at 37 was, they decided to go chase Deshaun Watson. You lost that, and then you found yourself playing with Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder. So you want to go ahead and start working on that project, that little homework project, as soon as possible, and maybe get a year or two with the heir apparent under Kirk Cousins. But you might be, it might not be this year, but it may be next. But you got to do it at some point. You got to have a transition plan. Don't want to get caught flat-footed like Denver, where they're still looking for the quarterback.
Sure. But you would agree with that, correct? I mean, when you look at the numbers overall, they are, despite the Buccaneers winning a playoff game last year, bringing back both Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans, crucial job by them to get both those players signed for next year and beyond. But that, to me, doesn't matter. Like, the Falcons are the best team in this division as we speak. Don't you agree with that?
Yes, I agree with Vegas. I never go against the Vegas folks. If that's how they got it, I'm with them. I'm rolling with them. But, yeah, I still need to see some stuff come together. The quarterback's got to be healthy, and all those things that are given. But certainly they have overtaken the Bucs. But the Bucs have won a division 3 years in a row. But, you know, two of those were with Tom Brady. So we got to factor that in there as one of the variables. Yeah, no doubt. They're the odds-on favorite here as we stand here in April right before the draft.
Well, it's going to be a surprise to basically nobody, I think, if Kirk Cousins goes there. If he plays the entire season, D, and based on his history, playing in a dome with their weapons, if he plays 16 games, I think Cousins is going to put up 4,500 yards and 30 touchdowns.
Kyle Pitts might actually have 1,000 yards.
Exactly right.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, Kyle Pitts should be in play for sure. They're definitely counting on him to have a big year.
You can follow D on X. He is at D Orlando. AJC does a great job covering the Falcons for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. D, thanks so much for the time today. We appreciate that.
All right. Thanks for having me, Mitch and JVT. You all take care and have a great day.
You bet. You too. You too. Okay, so, yeah, he joined us here in the Progressive Guest Line. If Cousins plays 16, 17 games, I fully expect those numbers to be there at the end of the season.
Oh, yeah. No, they should. I agree with you. I think that they are obviously the best team in the NFC South right now. And again, like I pointed this out when we talked about this on Primetime, the when the trade happened, which is just from a future standpoint, Mitch, I think they're worth it. You're going to get a schedule that is manageable for them.
Yep.
You are a team that is going to be the favorite to win your division or is the favorite to win your division. You should have a home game in the postseason. Like, those things kind of matter when you're talking about potentially making a run. By the way, can I also say, I do like that if they get Michael Pratt. Kid's only 22 years old. Like, that's what you're kind of trying to do, right? If you're going to get a guy to sit around for a year or two.
Where would you like it at?
Oh, like third.
At the highest they can go quarterback this year is third round.
Yes. You're a team with aspirations. Like, you can't, as we pointed out yesterday, Green Bay did it in the first round, as you well know, two times with Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. Both times, they were, especially with Love, they were criticized. But the bigger point is, both of them were 21 years old when they were drafted.
Right.
That makes a little bit more sense as opposed to Bo Nix and Penix, who right now are going to be 24 when the season starts.
Yeah, and when would they play with Kirk Cousins going there?
Right, by the time they're 26?
27?
Yeah, that's not great.
Up next, we will dive into NBA Finals exacta markets coming up. I will ask JVT which number looks appealing, especially to those who are currently without futures here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season. And guess what? So are we. Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is
finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use code VSIN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. It's code VSIN on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Mike Palm, VP, Circa Resort and Casino, coming up in studio in 15 minutes.
I'm so excited.
Get into the Ajante Porter story at that point. The book where we broadcast from every single day, Circa, they posted NBA championship exactas the other day. They're down right now. I think we're waiting news on, like, Jimmy Butler, for example, and what's going to happen with his health overall. But for those who have already dabbled in this market, or for those who are looking to add something to their future portfolio, did anything jump out to you? Like, is it too chalky to go Celtics Nuggets
both
this
ways,
year in the NBA?
I mean, it's hard not to tie Boston into anything, right? Because it very much seems that the Celtics should be able to make it through the Eastern Conference. They are, in fact, odds on favorites to do so. Like, this should be something that if you're attacking it, you're tying in a lot of Boston to whatever it's going to be. Now, as far as the West is concerned, I really like Denver a lot. I think that, obviously, just like the odds would say, the most probable outcome is Denver makes it out of the Western Conference.
Sure.
But when you look at the way that this could go down, if everybody is right, and especially if Kawhi Leonard's not going to play, a path to, at the very least, a Western Conference final seems very likely for a team like the Dallas Mavericks. They can match it pretty well with the Oklahoma City Thunder, potentially win that series, make it there, and then anything, you know, no holds barred in a Western Conference Finals. So, like, a Boston over Dallas or a Dallas over Boston, potentially tying those in at those prices is something that's pretty interesting. You're talking about the range of 20-1, Dallas defeating Boston to 22-1, 1975 the other way. I think that's probably the way you're going. Or, again, say a similar line of thought, which is if you believe that the Western Conference finalist on the other end is going to be the winner of this Mavericks and Clippers series, and Kawhi Leonard plays, tying in a longer shot on the Clippers in that regard could be something worth looking at too.
You're doing a lot of what mainstream media has done this week.
What?
You are poo-pooing the one seed in the West.
Oh, the Oklahoma City Thunder?
Yeah, that's correct.
I am. You're right. Now, I will say this. I do think that Oklahoma City, I don't think it's poo-pooing. I think that there are clear shortcomings for the roster that tend to manifest in the postseason. When you don't have, like, size, when you lack the ability to really attack teams up front on the glass, when you're not really strong in your front court in terms of your physicality, that does tend to manifest in losses more often than not in the postseason, if that's fair.
As someone who is holding OKC futures.
Yeah, you're like, you.
No. The part that disappointed me the most this year was at the deadline, speaking to your point, when they did not go out and help Chet Holmgren.
Yeah.
Down low. They added Gordon Hayward.
Right.
Which,
so they signed Bismack Biyombo
7 years ago. Great.
Yeah, sure.
But today, no thank you, including the fact that they passed on somebody big down low who can actually spell Holmgren and be kind of effective.
Right.
And so that is a major concern of mine.
Yeah, and I don't want to say, too, like, that's why I kind of preface it as, if you are one that believes that the Western Conference other semifinalists or finalists is coming out of that side of the bracket, right? Like, because I agree with you in that, look, Oklahoma City's awesome. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is one of the best individual players you're going to have in the Western Conference. Mark Dagenault is arguably one of the best head coaches in the conference, or maybe in the NBA. I still think Michael Malone is probably the best coach in the NBA at this point right now. He's been absolutely incredible. But, yeah, I don't want to discount Oklahoma City in any way, shape, or form, given their individual players. But the fact that you lack that size, and we shouldn't miss. Look, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander didn't look incredible coming back from that quad injury, right? So that's something you have to consider, too, as you kind of come into this. I do think he's going to be fully healthy. But I think that is kind of why a lot of people, if you're saying Oklahoma City can't do it because the team, like, you know, it was just a regular season team, you're wrong. I think if you're drawing the conclusion because they lack true size up front and thus against some of these teams might be up against it, I think that's more of a fair criticism.
All right, so the path going through Denver, right, like the next, if they do beat the Lakers and they're a -310 favorite to do so at DraftKings, as we're trying to like fill out the bracket then, I think the winner of Suns, Wolves can no doubt give the Nuggets a run for their money. I know the Wolves can. I'm absolutely convinced that they can play them to a 7-game series and maybe win.
Yeah.
Is that wishful thinking on my part with Phoenix? Because I don't like the Suns team in general, but I cannot ignore how they play Denver in the regular season.
So that, for me, that's the other one. And it's not Phoenix. It's Minnesota. Because I agree. Like we've kind of talked about this a little bit. I don't trust Phoenix either. Like, I think that there's been the signs that this team is somewhat fraudulent. We could look at the ATS record. The market's been a little too high on them. The market's been waiting for any opportunity to bet them, and here we are again. So, and you mentioned the way that Minnesota played Denver, and the way they could play match up with Denver, especially with Karl-Anthony Towns back. If you make it out of this series, you know, you talk to people out in Denver, and like there's the one team that would worry you if you get them would be the team that's on their side of the bracket that they could face in the Western Conference semis, which is Minnesota. You know, it's funny. We the narrative coming out of last postseason, the most competitive sweep in basketball history. I mean, the most competitive gentleman sweep of basketball history. Minnesota, like, made them grind in that first round quite a bit and even stole a game.
You know, Denver players actually talked about that after they won the title. They reflected on that run, and they were asked which team gave them the most. They said Minnesota.
Yeah.
And Minnesota plays them tight all the time. And that team presents plenty of matchup problems for the Nuggets.
And they are better this year. You could have...
Without question.
Like, Naz Reid obviously looks like he could win Sixth Man of the Year. You added Monte Morris to your bench. This is a team that is better. Anthony Edwards has obviously taken another step forward in his development, too. No, like, I think that's one where, like, you might be sleeping on that. So tying that in, right? Like, Boston defeating Minnesota or Minnesota defeating Boston. Like, those kind of exactas, too. Might be worth looking at because I do think Minnesota defensively presents challenges. And think about that, too. Like, if you're right? Let's say that Oklahoma City wins their first-round series against whoever comes out. I think they will. Say they win that semifinal matchup against either the Clippers or the Mavericks. And then you get a matchup of this Western Conference Finals with this massive Minnesota team that can exploit exactly what we're talking about here, right? No true answer up front for taking that team on. A path out of the West is not implausible at all for Minnesota.
Okay, so the way I would not bet both them, by the way.
Yeah.
Like you're throwing out there, if you wanted to bet Boston over Dallas and Dallas over Boston, what I would do is, for people who are looking to maybe make a profit, and I agree with you, I think you need to key in the Celtics, and if you lose, you lose, because it's beyond an upset if they don't come out of the Eastern Conference.
Yes.
Can they lose? Sure they can. It happens all the time. But they, I think, are clearly head and shoulders above the field this year in the Eastern Conference. Because if you want to, if that happens, right, if you bet one of those and you bet Boston over Dallas, you're going to be able to hedge off of that.
Right.
If you want to in the playoffs anyway, where you could take Dallas plus a game and a half, or you could take Dallas a little bit to win the series. Any of these teams are going to be dogs against the Celtics in the finals.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point. Like the side that you're backing there, Boston to defeat, you're going to have the favored side if they make it to the playoff, even if it's the Nuggets, regardless of injury if they make it out.
Like, I want to sit here and tell you that, no, let's look beyond the board here in the East.
Yeah, let's go Lakers over Knicks, huh? Let's see, 225 to 1.
Let's tie in the Knicks. Let's tie in the Sixers. But I can't do that.
No.
Do you think Cleveland or Orlando would give any resistance to Boston in the second round?
I mean, they'll play them for the course of 48 minutes per game. That's resistance, right? They'll try to stop them.
Orlando has actually played them quite well.
They did last year. They were, 3-1 straight up, 4-0 against the spread against them last year?
Yeah.
That kind of wore out a little bit this year. And it's a little different now that you have Porzingis too. And, man, the way that math battle, you talk about like a math battle. If Orlando does win and move on, the discrepancy from beyond the three-point line in that series between those two, it is going to be huge.
Yeah.
Boston's just going to walk into each game up like 13 just because they just make more threes on average.
Yeah, I don't give the Bucks a chance. The Pacers in a seven-game series, that might be fun against the Celtics, but I think the Celtics blow by them offensively.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe the 2-7 matchup, that's one of those two teams, basically the only two I think that can give the Celtics any run at all.
Sure. Yes, I would agree with that in general. But I think that's what you were looking at. I mean, look, we shouldn't ignore. I mean, there is a reality that Milwaukee still wins this series against Indiana.
Oh, no,
and then
of
all
course.
Of a sudden you're yes. in the second round. Giannis is back. He's healthy. And you've got a guy who's won an NBA Finals before and another dude that's the best of his generation, Damian Lillard. And all of a sudden, you know, making noise there and you have to face him in the East. Like, that's not implausible. We should mention Milwaukee. The injury just, of course, derails things.
I would not like their chances against the Celtics.
No, I think it's fair.
But what you just said, though, now that it's a pick 'em against the Pacers, which is just, I mean, crazy. But
it seems a little nuts to me.
Yeah.
Like, I talked to yesterday. I was talking with a couple people, and I feel like if that plus sign appears, it might be go time on Milwaukee.
Again, who's to say that Dame, for a couple of games here, potentially without Giannis, doesn't go off and average 35 a game?
Against a very bad perimeter defense.
Exactly right. He could torch them.
Yep.
And look absolutely brilliant.
And remember, too, the other change in that series, Benedict Mathurin's out for the season.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big deal.
Up next, Mike Palm on the program, VP, Circa Resort and Casino. What are his thoughts on the Jonte Porter story and the $80,000 bet that was frozen as a result of him trying to fix games he was playing in? That's next year on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.